Please turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 3. I'd like to read on down through verse 12. Hebrews 12, verses 3 through 12. And as you're turning there, let me counsel us all that as we come to a text like this and we come to a topic like parenting, one of the temptations that can come to us is to think, well, I'm not a parent of children in the home. Some of you may say, I'm single. I'm not even married yet. I don't have children yet, so therefore this text doesn't really apply to me. And some of you may say, well, my kids are grown. My kids are out of the house. My grandchildren live in another state. This text doesn't apply to me. But the Bible is being written to all of the people of God. Whether or not you have children in the home right now, you are responsible for shaping and forming the other members of the body here at Highview in parenting. And even if you do not have children yet, the Lord is preparing you to be a parent or a spiritual parent in some place in your life, and this text is speaking to you. So this is about all of us here this morning, and let's hear what the Lord our God has to say to us. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 3. Would you please stand out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God? The Holy Spirit says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Let's pray. Father, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And Father, we ask that you through your word would invade your kingdom into this place this morning. Father, we pray that you through your spirit would make your power known in this place this morning. And Father, we pray that we would see your glory here through what you have said and what you are saying to us. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jet lag had not even worn off, neither my wife or me. We had adopted our oldest two sons from an orphanage in Russia, and we had taken a very, 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 very long journey back from Russia, and we're getting adjusted and settled into our house. And I began what has to be the hardest and most difficult year of my entire life. And it had nothing to do with just the normal adjustment of children in the home. One of the boys, now I won't tell you which one, but if you know them, you'll be able to figure it out. One of the boys gave us absolute fits for a solid year. And what he wanted to do was he would get into the bed at night, and he decided that he was going to get out of the bed. And he would get out of that bed, and he would just do whatever he wanted to all through the house. But what I would do is to go and stand at the door, and every time that I heard those little feet hit the floor, we'd have a conversation. We'd have a little bit of chastisement. We'd have a little bit of discipline. And I thought that two or three times of this would resolve it. But it didn't. It would take me standing at the door sometimes until 3 o'clock in the morning, and every time we'd get back in the bed, soon as I'd get back in the hallway, there'd go the feet again. And I just said to myself, you know what? This may be a strong-willed child. He's just arrived in this house. I said, and I'm going to tell you one thing, Mr. Russian man. I'm going to show you who won the Cold War. So I was there every single time that those little feet got out of the bed, and this went on and on and on. I said, I am not going to give up. And I finally just took his little cheeks in my hand, and I said, I love you, buddy, and let me tell you, you are not going to be able to wear me down, because every time I am going to be there, we are going to teach you to be obedient. And there came a day in which the Cold War was won. That little Kremlin flag came down, Soviet flag came down off the Kremlin, and the American flag went up, and he surrendered. But it was after some of the most difficult days of just saying, I'm going to have to stay on this, and me saying to myself the entire time, this is not working. This kid is not going to obey. This kid is never going to obey. This kid is going to wind up being an arsonist and a serial killer by the time he's 12, because there is nothing that I am able to do for him in terms of discipline. Now, there's probably every parent in this place that knows something of what it is to be just absolutely exasperated by the idea of discipline. Sometimes there are parents, including probably some parents in this room or some grandparents in this room, who are helping with the raising of your grandchildren, or aunts and uncles who are working with parents who need your assistance right now. You're in the place where you're just wondering, is there ever any hope? Am I doing this right? Am I going to be able to discipline this child into adulthood and into maturity? Well, the Scripture speaks to this issue. And when you look at what the Bible is saying here in the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is being written to a congregation in which a lot of people are wanting to give up. It's a lot of people who are coming under ridicule. They're coming under persecution. They're tempted to go back to the old way of life that they used to have. They're tempted to just give up on the entire project of following after Christ. And the writer of Hebrews writes and says to them, you need to be strong. You need to keep going. You need to keep running. And he says, you need to understand and to see that God is disciplining you. God is preparing you for something. And he says that God's discipline is like the discipline of a father, like the discipline of a parent. And he says, just as you can see the way that discipline works between a parent and a child, you can see the way that God is disciplining you. Now, that also works in the reverse. If you're going to understand what it means to discipline a child, and if we as a congregation are going to understand what it means to prepare parents to discipline children, we need to make sure that we understand and know that every act of discipline and every act of refusing to discipline is a sermon. Every time that you discipline a child and every time that you decide not to discipline a child, you are telling that child something about God. And you are hardwiring into that child lessons about God that are going to be there for the rest of the life of that child. So it is critically important, not just to the raising up of healthy children, it is critically important to the future of Highview Baptist Church, and it is critically important for the Great Commission and for the gospel that we learn to discipline children the way God the Father disciplines. And so let's notice, first of all, that what this text is showing us is that discipline is about more than spanking. Discipline is about spanking. Discipline is about chastisement. There's no question. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But discipline is not just spanking. Discipline, the kind of discipline that images God, is a discipline that starts in teaching. It starts in instruction. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. He starts off by saying to them, now look and notice the fact that you have a Christ who has endured from sinners hostility. Remember and know what you have been taught in the gospel. Remember those things so that you will not grow weary. Discipline starts with parents who are teaching and instructing children what is expected of those children. And it's not just in those formal discipline times. Teaching is something that is going on all of the time. Even in just little conversations that you're having as you're riding down the road. Or when you see things taking place. You're standing there and saying, hey, you know what? This is what this means. One of my sons has been asking a lot about liquor these days. Alcohol. As we'll go into a restaurant, he'll see a bar over somewhere, he'll see some alcohol over there, he'll see people, and he's kind of intrigued by it, wondering what this is. 7 years old. We rode by a sign one day, and he's starting to learn to read and to read things, and he said, Miller Lite. What is Miller Lite, Dad? I said, it's a drink. I just left it at that. I thought I'd answer the question as much as it. It's a drink. He came here to Highview with an entire group of people gathered around him. He said, my daddy's favorite drink is Miller Lite. And I took him aside. I said, I didn't tell you. He said, well, we saw it on the billboard. I said, I didn't tell you that was my favorite drink. Bud Lite. No, I'm just kidding. They are learning and they're receiving these messages all of the time. And a lot of what your job as a parent is that before you get to the place of discipline, before you get to the place of chastisement, you're teaching. This is what a man does. This is what a woman does. This is what a Christian looks like. This is what a member of our household does. This is why we honor one another. This is why we're kind to one another. This is why we give our offering in the offering plate. This is why we go to church and sing with the people of God. This is why you are instructing and teaching and letting the child know what is expected of the child, and also letting the child know as the child is growing up what the child is going to be facing in the future. That's what God does. God is consistently giving to his people, not everything. God doesn't tell everything all at once, but he gives to his people just enough of what they need to know to be able to make it through the trial that is coming before them next. There is absolutely no reason for any child raised by godly Christian parents to be surprised by puberty. There is no reason for any child raised by godly Christian parents to hear about sex and reproduction on the schoolyard. There is no reason for a child to learn about some of the painful and darker aspects of human life by seeing it on television. A child's parents preparing that child with what is appropriate for that age and teaching and instructing the child. When it comes to the gospel, the responsibility to teach your child about the gospel does not rest with the children's workers at Highview. They're here to evangelize children. They're here to share the gospel with children, but they are here to supplement the teaching and the preaching of the gospel that you are doing all the time in your home. Sunday school exists, and all of the various children's ministries exist to reach children whose parents don't know the gospel and to supplement the teaching and the instruction of parents who do. You are to teach and to instruct, and that is discipline, that is discipleship. It's also discipline to have an example within the home. You're shaping and you're forming and you're teaching that child. That's what God does. He says, consider the example of Jesus. God does not simply issue commands. God enters into the reality of his people and he shows them what it means to be godly. He pictures for them what it means to be godly. That's what a parent does. A parent, through the way that the parent is living, is giving a model of what it means for that child to grow up into maturity. A dad is saying, this is what a dad does. A mom is saying, this is what a mom does. And don't be deceived. Whatever is true of you that you are picturing to your children, however restrained and minimal it is, it will be pictured and it will be aped in magnitude later on. The example of the parent is part of the discipline, which means that your chief aspect of discipline as a parent is often first disciplining yourself, getting yourself under control before you are turning around and speaking to your children. It's an example. But notice also in this text that discipline is rooted in acceptance. God says to this congregation as they're enduring the discipline of God, as God is doing something to shape them and to form them, he says, don't you know that everyone who is a son, everyone who is received as a son receives discipline? If you are without discipline, he says, then you're an illegitimate child. But if you receive discipline, it's not because God hates you, it's because God loves you. Go and walk down through Walmart sometime. Walk through the aisles of Walmart and just look around, and you will see children doing any number of things imaginable. You'll see children on the floor. I saw a child not long ago on the ground screaming at his mother, I hate you. Now, my first reaction was to say, he needs a spanking, and I'm just the man to give it to him. And I realized, this is not my child. It doesn't matter to me, ultimately, whether or not this happens. If my child did that, then we're going straight home. We're going to deal with it right then. Writer of Hebrews says, when you are being disciplined, it is a sign that God is receiving you. When you are not, when you are just left alone, it means that God is not receiving you. A key and critical aspect of godly discipline is making sure that your children understand and know that they are accepted and received into your home. That they understand and know that they are seen as children. They are seen as vital parts of the family. The one who is disciplined is loved. That means that if you are disciplining without love, or if you are loving without discipline, you are misunderstanding both. A godly Christian home has to include affection. You are my son, and in you I am well pleased. You are my daughter, and I am proud of you. There ought to be within your home the kind of spontaneous hugging and kissing and verbally speaking of how much you love your children. That's what the Father does with us. Scripture says he sings over us with great rejoicing. You ought to be communicating that acceptance and that reception of those children. That doesn't mean that you make the children the center point of your home. It doesn't mean that the children now become the focus of everything that is going on in the marriage or in the household. Marie and I walked into a house one time of a lady who had one daughter. And this daughter, you walked in the house, they had paintings, oil paintings of this little girl everywhere, and had little lights that they had fixed to just shine up onto this little girl to where it looked like she had a halo through her little pigtails. And everywhere you went, there's Natalie and Natalie and Natalie and Natalie. And sure enough, out comes little Natalie, and she was queen dictator of the entire house. She was telling her parents where to go, what time she was going to eat, when she wanted it, when she wanted the television on, and how loud she wanted it. That is not a biblical picture of love. That is not the way that the Father loves us. But it is a receiving and an acceptance. One of the ways that you can best communicate to your children that they are received and welcome into the family is by giving the children things to do. We think sometimes that loving the children means letting them relax. Loving the children means valuing the children's place in the household and giving the children little jobs that they can do in the house. You're the one that clears the table. You're the one that brings the tea out at the meal. You're the one that helps bring the garbage out. What you are saying is you are a vital and valued part of this household. We welcome you here. You belong here. It's acceptance into the family. But notice also that this discipline, this godly discipline here, is a discipline that is not punishment. There is a key difference in Scripture between discipline and punishment. Discipline is shaping. Discipline is teaching. Punishment is justice. Punishment is getting back. That is not what discipline does. When you are disciplining a child, what you are doing is shaping that child for the future, not getting back at that child for something that the child has done. God says here, don't you know that God, your Father, disciplines you? You are not under condemnation. He is writing to believers. And he is saying the reason that the Father disciplines you is because you've got certain patterns that he wants to get rid of, and there are certain patterns that he wants to create to get you ready for the kingdom of God. So if you in your household are under disciplining, then what you are doing is teaching a false picture of judgment. Doesn't matter how much you preach the gospel to your children. If your children learn that they are able to get away with rebellion, they are able to get away with defiance or with disrespect, you are teaching them that there are not consequences to behavior. And no matter what your words say, that's what you're communicating with your mouth. That means that godly discipline is consistent. You need to be constantly there, consistently applying the discipline all of the time. One of the things that we faced early on with one of my children is the fact that he would get out into public in the most inopportune moments with his mother and just throw the most ridiculous fit you've ever seen in your life. And so she would try to, she's in the middle of the grocery store, she's trying to deal with this, and she called me one time at work. She said, it's in the mission, but by the time I get him together and by the time I get him home, it's been like 15, 20 minutes since the fit was thrown. I don't think that the discipline is coming right alongside what's taking place. I said, well, all right. I said, we're going to rig it. We're going to have a sting operation here. I said, you take him to the place where he always typically is, where he throws the fit. We had all of the circumstances right together with the way it was. I took off work and I went and was waiting on the other side of the aisle. And sure enough, it just so happened, the conditions were just right. He threw the fit and there I was. And we left the shopping cart right there and we went home and we dealt with the discipline. Leaving a shopping cart full of groceries is worth it to make sure that your children know that you love them enough to consistently discipline. Under discipline leads to a false view of God. But you know what? So does over discipline. Over discipline is not what God does. Notice what's happening here. There is a strategic nature of discipline. He says, our fathers disciplined us for a short time. That they've got a goal in mind. could be that there are some people in this room who understand abuse. I'm not even talking about abuse here. If abuse physically or sexually or emotionally harming a child, that needs to be dealt with by the law and by church discipline within this congregation. That is completely contrary to the Word of God. But you can over-discipline even without being abusive. What does that look like? That looks like what the Scripture calls exasperating your children, having a lack of patience. One of the things that's tempting to me is to want to discipline those things that annoy me. Scripture does not give you the authority to discipline the things that annoy you. You discipline those things that are defiant or disobedient or disrespectful, but you work patiently with your children just as God bears patiently with us, understanding that we are children of dust, that we have weak frames. There are a lot of things that you're tempted to discipline for that are simply little boys being little boys or little girls being little girls. And a lot of that, maybe in your case, I know it's true in mine, a lot of that comes right down to the issue of pride. I'll find that whenever I am just staying on my boys, needling them constantly, the reason for that is because I don't want to be embarrassed. I want to make sure that my kids are the kids that are sitting quietly and neatly in the seat. I want to make sure that my kids are the kids that look everybody in the eye. I want to make sure that my kids are the ones that are not disobeying. I don't want to be the one dragging my kids through the foyer at Highview out to go and receive a spanking. Sometimes the pride that we have can lead us just to have an anger at normal disciplinary things that we ought to be dealing with in patience. You don't refuse to discipline, but you also discipline the way that God does. And how does God discipline? He disciplines with endurance and with patience. Some of y'all in this room, I'm sure, discipline in anger. And one of the reasons you discipline in anger is because you let things go. You let things, little things, go and go and go and go till they get to the point when you can't take it anymore and you come bailing out of your room and you're screaming and hollering and carrying on and disciplining. You should never discipline in wrath. God does not. God treats unbelievers with wrath in hell. He does not treat His children with wrath. His discipline is purposeful, His discipline is patient, and His discipline is calm. You should be the most calm when you are disciplining your children than you are at any other time. And that sometimes means that time out is appropriate. I'm not big on time out for children. We have time out in our house, but it's because we named a spanking a time out when the children were very little so that we could say in the middle of Walmart, you do that again, we're going to take you home and give you a time out. So all they know of a time out is that's a spanking. But time out is often very appropriate for parents to say, I want you to go into your room, I'm going to discipline you, but I need to calm down and get self-control first. What you're doing is you are teaching the children what it means to get control of the emotions so that you are able to come in and to say, Daddy is going to spank you right now. Daddy's going to spank you right now because of this. Daddy's going to spank you right now because he loves you, and this is what I'm trying to teach you to do. You discipline the child, and then you immediately reconcile. You immediately forgive. You immediately cause that relationship to be restored, and then you move on. You don't spend the rest of the day berating the child. Yeah, remember that? Remember in there when I told you not to get into that bag of cookies and you went and snuck them all out and lied to me about it? Remember that? No, you've already disciplined for that. You've already reconciled for that. You're not keeping a record of wrongs done. That's how God shapes and forms and disciplines His own children. You don't humiliate your children. You don't do it with yelling and screaming. You do it patiently. When a child sees you screaming and yelling and throwing a fit. The child is seeing a picture of God that is not accurate. And a child is seeing someone who is saying, I want you to learn how to get self-control. That's not self-control. That is somebody who is breaking down the barriers. Discipline with patience and with consistency. And then notice finally, this discipline of God is future oriented. Notice what God does. He says he is disciplining. It is painful for a while, but it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. God's discipline is preparing you for something. That means that what you are disciplining is, at the very beginning, very little things. What a lot of people want to do is to be very, very loose with their children when they're small and cute. And then when they start to get big and pimply and hormonal and cat-like and all the things that happens when they turn 10, 11, 12 years old, then all you want to tighten in the reins. That is not the biblical pattern. You start with the very small things, the little lies, the little disobediences, the little fits, so that you are able to train them how to have self-control, how to manage the appetites. You're not giving those children everything that they want. You're teaching them instead from the very beginning how to go forward. Some of you in this room are setting your children up for destruction by, for instance, you have no monitoring of the cell phone use that they have. Some of you have daughters that you have put in a war zone of texting back and forth with guys. Some of you in this room have children that have televisions and computers in their room. And you're not monitoring any of this. You are putting them in a situation in which you cannot expect but that there is going to be trouble. Some of you are just turning your eye to situations with modesty or situations with cynicism or situations with sarcasm. You are not watching from the very beginning. Notice what God does. He patiently works so that he can bring about that peaceable fruit of righteousness, of harmony, of peace, of self-control. That means that discipline has to be long-term. Now, there's some of you in this room, maybe you're a parent, maybe you're not a parent, maybe you're a child. Discipline is about you. Some of you were disciplined poorly. Some of you are not disciplined well by your parents. Some of your parents abandoned you. Some of your parents abused you. Some of your parents were indifferent to you. The answer to that is not by growing bitter toward your parents. You're not predestined to repeat all the mistakes that your parents made. The answer to that instead is to look and to see the Father's discipline of God and to walk according to that and to change the patterns that you have in your own house, in your own family, in your own area of influence. Some of you in this room are under the discipline of God right now. Some of you, God is trying to teach you about something. He's trying to take some things that you have away from you. He's trying to give you some things that you need to learn how to handle. Don't grow bitter at that. Learn from that. And some of you in this room have no discipline at all. God's not doing anything in your life because you don't belong to Him. Come to faith in Christ. Believe in Christ. Cry out to God and say, I want to be your child in Jesus Christ, and He'll receive you. He'll hear you. We guarantee that. And there's some of you in this room who have children at home or grandchildren next door or neighbor children who go by your house, and the picture of God that you are giving is a false picture. Let's turn around. Let's change and show them what a purpose-driven paddle looks like for a change. Let's pray. Father, we pray and ask that you would teach us the kind of discipline in our own life and then in the lives of our children, that pictures and shows the reality that you've given to us. Father, we ask that you would teach us self-control, that you would teach us patience, that you would teach us consistency. And Father, we ask through this that you would magnify the gospel. And Father, as our ushers come forward, Father, we pray that you would discipline us toward giving. And Father, we pray that you would use the money that you have given to us out of your abundance and out of your provision, that Father, you would give that to let the nations hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, if there is anyone in this room outside of Christ, Father, if there is anyone in this room who says, I'm a parent and I don't even know what to do from here, Father, I pray that you would keep that person from the kind of pride that would cause him or cause her just to walk out of this door. Father, please let that person grab one of the ministers here after the service and say, I need to have some questions answered. Father, we pray that you would put that burden upon hearts. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name and his glory. Amen.